Good morning, everyone. Today we are in Numbers 14. You might recall that in Numbers 13, spies were sent out to spy the land. Moses and Israel are in the desert and they are headed towards the promised land, and they want to go check on it and find out how fortified it is and what the land is like. Remember, this is the land that God had promised Abraham, and unfortunately, due to a drought and famine in the land, Abraham's family, now run by the second generation after Abraham, Jacob, ended up having to go to Egypt, and they ended up spending 300 years in Egypt as slaves to the Egyptian Pharaoh. But then God set them free a year and a half ago, so to speak, and now they're in the desert, but he set them free to be able to worship God and to create a community that would be fruitful and multiply and bear his image and likeness. And he wanted to bless them so that they could be a blessing to others and other people could learn to worship Yahweh. And now they're going to head to the promised land, the land that he long ago promised Abraham. But when they went to spy it out, some of the people were afraid. And I think they did not want to have to fight. They didn't want to have to face any kind of war, even though God, when they go to take over the promised land, is really going to bless them and give them victory. But a lot of them just didn't want to do it and had some fear, but some of it was just, I think, again, not wanting to go to war. But two of them, Caleb and Joshua, said, no, listen, we can trust God. This is the land that God promised us, and we will go and God will be with us. But the stronger that they pronounced that we should go, the other people made a bad report and made it sound like there were giants in the land. So now the Israelites under Moses' leadership are scared and they don't want to go. So here we are in Numbers chapter 14. And think about this. This is a huge moment in the history of Moses, Israel, and God's people here, is that, you know, they could thwart right now the plan that God has. Now, ultimately, right, God's plans aren't going to be thwarted. But, I mean, this is a huge trial, because if all the people say, hey, no, we're not going to go, we want to go back, you know, then what God had set forward isn't going to happen. So here we are. Then all the congregation lifted up their voices and cried, and the people wept that night. All the sons of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron. And the whole congregation said to them, would that we had died in the land of Egypt, or I wish we would be another way to translate that, or would that we had died in the wilderness. Why is the Lord bringing us into this land to fall by the sword? Our wives and our little ones will become plunder. Would it not be better for us to return to Egypt? So they said to one another, let us appoint a leader and return to Egypt. Wow, completely turning their backs on God, on Moses. They want to usurp his leadership, find some other leader, and head back to town, head back to Egypt where they were slaves. I mean, then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces in the presence of all the assembly of the congregation of the sons of Israel. Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, of those who had spied out the land, tore their clothes. That was a sign of major repentance and crying out to God, and would get the attention of others. And they spoke to all the congregation of the sons of Israel, saying, the land which we pass through to spy out is an exceedingly good land. If the Lord is pleased with us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord, and do not fear the people of the land, for they will be our prey. Their protection has been removed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them. But all the congregation said to stone them with stones. They were going to kill Caleb and Joseph. That's how much they didn't want to. This is a huge, you know, like kind of political infight among Israel, and a lot's on the line here as far as their future. But then look what happens here. And this is quite a verse. Then the glory of the Lord appeared in the tent of meeting to all the sons of Israel. So it's like at that moment, Perhaps fire and smoke came out over the tabernacle, like at the moment that they're having this. And think of all that God has done for them. Water from the rock, manna from the sky, quail in order that they could have meat, making his presence known on Mount Sinai, freeing them on the Passover, splitting the sea, the river so that they could go through, or the sea so that they could go through, and they're going to go through the river soon, or when they enter the promised land, but splitting the sea so they could go through on dry ground. I mean, God has done so much, but yet when fear sets in, or when they're hungry or thirsty, they forget that God has been there for them, and God is not pleased. So he shows his appearance, which had to be quite alarming, especially to those who were rebelling. The Lord said to Moses, "How long will this people spurn me? And how long will they not believe in me, despite all the signs which I have performed in their midst? I will smite them with pestilence and dispossess them, and I will make you into a nation greater and mightier than they." God's like frustrated to the point where he's like, I'm going to start over, Moses. I'll keep you, but we're going to get a different people. But Moses said to the Lord, "Then the Egyptians will hear of it, for by your strength you brought up this people from their midst, and they will tell it to the inhabitants of the land. They have heard that you, O Lord, are in the midst of this people, for you, O Lord, are seen eye to eye while your cloud stands over them, and you go before them in a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. Now if you slay this people as one man," meaning all of them, "then the nations who have heard of your fame will say, because the Lord could not bring this people into the land which he promised them by oath, therefore he slaughtered them in the wilderness. But now I pray, let the power of the Lord be great, just as you've declared. The Lord is slow to anger." He's reminding God of what God has told him. "Then the Lord is slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness, forgiving iniquity and transgression, but he will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and fourth generations." Moses is quoting something from God from earlier. "Pardon, I pray, the iniquity of this people, according to the greatness of your loving kindness, just as you also have forgiven this people from Egypt until now." And Moses sees the heart of God and the forgiveness and grace that God has given them in all their waywardness. And he's asking God for more grace and mercy and to express his loving kindness. And it's interesting here, you know, this is on more than one occasion, and you might recall in a previous chapter, you know, some prophets could speak on behalf of God, or God would place words but in their mouths, but not like Moses. He's like, "Moses, I talk to like more face to face." And, you know, it's interesting the kind of relationship that Moses had with God. And this is not the only time that God, or Moses, reasons with God, and it appears that Moses has an influence and that God changes his mind. You know, there are some people that focus on what's called the attributes of God. And, you know, God is sovereign, God is immutable, meaning he doesn't change his mind. And they can focus so much on an attribute that then they fail to actually see what the Word of God says. So God is not governed by attributes that man tries to summarize God with. God's not governed by that. God is known through the entire counsel of his Word. And when it says in a passage in the Bible that God doesn't change his mind, I think what it means is that God isn't just willy-nilly. He doesn't just say one thing, do another, change his mind all the time. But it doesn't mean that God never has, because he clearly has in the Bible. And if God can't flex his plans at all, then, you know, why would you pray? You know, do you believe that God can answer a prayer? Well, you know, some people get so stuck on the sovereignty of God, where God knew everything ahead of time and he knew what you were going to pray, and then he just answered the prayer you already knew. I don't think we need to believe that. I think we can believe in God's sovereignty, God's power, but we can leave enough flexibility for God to realize that we don't know everything and he's not governed by our attributes. God's bigger than that. He can do whatever he wants. So therefore, we need to have, I think, greater humility and not paint our view of God into a corner, because it does seem at times he responded to his people in prayer or changed his mind because of counsel from Moses. So the Lord said, I have pardoned them according to your word. But indeed, as I live, all the earth will be filled with the glory of the Lord. Surely all the men who have seen my glory and my signs, which I performed in Egypt and in the wilderness, yet have put me to the test these 10 times. And he's thinking about, you know, all the other times so far that they've questioned God, and they have not listened to my voice. They shall by no means see the land which I swore to their fathers, nor shall any of those who spurned me see it. So there's going to be a penalty. God is not going to, wipe out Israel right now. But what he is going to do is he's going to say, listen, you people have proven untrustworthy, and you've tested me one too many times. And now as a result of what you have done, the penalty is going to be that you're not going to go into the promised land. Oh, yes, I'm going to take Israel into the promised land. I'm going to give that land, just like I said, but it's not going to be you. It's going to be your children, because you guys have shown that I can't trust you, basically, and that you go wayward, and this is going to be your penalty. But my servant Caleb, because he has a different spirit and has followed me fully, I will bring into the land which he entered, and his descendants shall take possession of it. Now the Amalekites, who are enemies of Israel, and Canaan live in the valleys. Turn tomorrow and set out to the wilderness by the way of the Red Sea. The Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, how long shall I bear with this evil congregation who are grumbling against me? I have heard the complaints of the sons of Israel, which they are making against me. Say to them, as I live, says the Lord, just as you have spoken in my hearing, so I will surely do to you. Your corpses will fall in this wilderness, even all your numbered men, according to your complete number from 20 years old and upward, who have grumbled against me. Surely you shall not come into the land in which I swore to settle you, except Caleb the son of Jephunneh and Joshua the son of Nun. Your children, however, whom you said would become a prey, I will bring in, and they will know the land which you have rejected. But as for you, your corpses will fall in this wilderness. Your sons shall be shepherds for 40 years in the wilderness, and they will suffer for you your unfaithfulness until your corpses lie in the desert. So basically, he's going to have them stay in the desert long enough that the people that came out of Egypt are going to pass and pass away naturally. And then the next generation of them is going to end up going into the promised land. According to the number of days which you spied out the land, 40 days, for every day you shall bear your guilt a year, even 40 years, and you will know my opposition. I, the Lord, have spoken. Surely this I will do to all this evil congregation who are gathered together against me. In this wilderness they shall be destroyed, and there they shall die. As for the men whom Moses sent out to spy out the land, and who returned and made all the congregation grumble against him by bringing out a bad report concerning the land, even those men who brought out the very bad report of the land died by a plague before the Lord. So all those that were sent as spies died, but Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh remained alive out of those men who went to spy out the land. Talk about the miracles of God. God could have, you know, the ones that were unfaithful spies die, and the ones that were, you know, good and right live. And they ought to trust God. And when Moses spoke these words to all the sons of Israel, the people mourned greatly. In the morning, however, they rose up early and went to the ridge of the hill country, saying, "Here we are. We have indeed sinned, but we will go up to the place which the Lord has promised." So they wanted to go to they wanted to change course and go to battle the Amalekites and the Canaanites who were living in the hills nearby. And they were going to eventually go and have to fight those people on their way to the promised land. But God didn't tell them to go right now. But what they're trying to do is they're trying to save face, and they're trying to show God that they have courage. But they're not actually waiting even to hear from God. They're making a similar mistake. They're doing things in their own will instead of waiting to hear from the Lord. But Moses said, "Why then are you transgressing the commandment of the Lord when it will not succeed? Do not go up, or you will be struck down before your enemies, for the Lord is not among you. For the Amalekites and the Canaanites will be there in front of you, and you will fall by the sword, inasmuch as you have turned back from following the Lord, and the Lord will not be with you." And they just won't listen, these people, but they went up heedlessly, actually, it says, to the ridge of the hill country. Neither the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord nor Moses left the camp. Then the Amalekites and the Canaanites who lived in that hill country came down and struck them and beat them down as far as Hormah. Wow, what a chapter of Israel's unfaithfulness in the spies and now in going to battle when they shouldn't have gone to battle. And really what they needed to do is submit and surrender and follow God and follow their godly leadership under Moses. So this is what happened. And it's a tragic time for Israel. But hopefully through this, you know, they will learn and the next generation will learn that they need to honor God, they need to wait on God, and they need to follow Him. And I think the lesson can be there for us too. We got to make sure before we are making big decisions in life that we're seeking the Lord's will and following His will. Our biggest problems are acting in our own will and getting outside of the will of God and making our own decisions. And I without His input, and that can lead to destruction. And you know, there's just things coming to my mind right now, situations and events in life where, you know, marriages falling apart or people not following God and just doing their own thing. And it's going to lead to bad consequences. It's just going to lead to bad consequences. And people need to pause and people need to seek the Lord and honor Him. And there's blessing. Sometimes it means suffering or hardship in the moment to do what's right. But there's blessing later in life, and there's blessing in eternity when we wait and we follow God and we don't do our own will, but when we do the Lord's will. May this come to mind, and may the next time we have a big decision to make, we follow and obey our Lord. God bless you all.